Thank you very much, Ross. It's a pleasure to sit in for George Norrie tonight. And there are some been some real issues raised tonight, as they do every night. Mr. Norrie raises them. Ian raises them. Certainly Mr. Bell raised a number of them. But what the chaplain was saying earlier about the last thing that we want in this country is a revolution is absolutely correct. For the last 20 or 30 years, I think all of us have had exposure either personally or have seen on various media all these people, you know, sitting around with their deer rifles just waiting for the apocalypse. But isn't it the truth that were such a thing like that to happen, it's not going to be the way we think it is going to be. Oh, if it gets bad in the city, we'll run to the country. Well, there are already people out there in the country. They're not going to appreciate that very much. Is it possible that what we've done is just enjoyed ourselves just a little bit too much? Maybe we didn't study enough. Maybe we lost track of our Boy Scout handbook. Don't even know how to make a fire without something you can just rub two sticks together just once, and it makes a fire. If necessity is the mother of invention, then maybe this thing that Chaplain Lindsey Williams, we spent the last 3 hours with, if this thing does come upon us, well, maybe it'll then be incumbent upon us to come up with a solution or two. As far as the food supplies are concerned, look at the people around the world who seem to live forever on nothing. Bulk foods, beans, rice, sugar, coffee. Look at any cowboy movie. What are they going to town for? That's what you're going to be eating, because the chaplain is right. Growing your own food is just really not that easy. If you have a good season, well, then you'll eat. And if you have a bad season, well, you won't. Some commentary from a fellow that I don't want to mention his name at this moment in hopes that he'll become a guest on the program at some point in the future. But he witnessed the collapse of the Soviet Union. And he asserted that the Soviet Union was in a much better position to survive a problem than we. They have a massive transportation network. So no one was stranded. No one was evicted. They had a very active gray and black market, which we have in some ways, but not altogether enough to provide what was provided to the Soviets back during that era, where you relied on people to help you out, even if they knew there was not much of a chance of your being able to return the favor. They just did it to get everybody through. Maybe adversity is what we need to become, not just a country, but a nation once again. Is that too right-wing for anybody? I certainly hope not, because I'm feeling it. And for the remainder of this hour, we will take your calls and get into it, if you will. Well, it's in for Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. So the theme tonight is, where are we going, and what are we doing in this handbasket? Could we speak with Catherine in Hollywood? She's most definitely west of the Rockies, way west. Are you there, Catherine?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
What's on your mind?
Very interesting topic tonight. You know, I was sitting and thinking about these elites, and I was just wondering, do you think that they're behind non-curable diseases like cancer and AIDS?
You know, I'm not sure if they're behind them.
Or, like, are they holding a possible cure for those?
You know, I heard a story. This has been several years ago, but I heard that if you had insurance, you get surgery. This was in regard to cancer treatment. Uh-huh. Now, this has been a while, but there was the statistics showed that people with heavy insurance got surgery, and people who were light on insurance got alternative treatments like chemicals and so forth, the chemotherapy. As far as AIDS is concerned, that's still a mystery. It would not surprise me in the least if this was developed in some sort of a lab somewhere and it got loose and nobody wants to say anything about it because of the immeasurable ramifications of having something like that come to light to the public.
Yeah.
So there's just no way of knowing. And the thing is that the truth is one of those nebulous things. we may not be able to get our hands on the whole truth, but we can get little pieces of the truth. And to use another unfortunate expression, I've got a dictionary of them tonight. It's the old connect the dots thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. So do you think they're behind Big Pharma and all that stuff, or are they beyond the pharmaceutical companies and all that control that they have?
You know, I think that anything can be taken to an extreme. People misquote the scripture when they say money is the root of all evil. It's not money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. So if somebody can make a buck and they can, and if they can make a billion of them,
that would be
and nice. People will allow them to, you know, it all comes down to this, Catherine. In the end, what are we as, are we going to remain divided? Or can we get together on enough subjects and enough issues to where we can bring pressure to bear against the political components that will actually affect the change? Or do we sit and take it until it becomes uncomfortable? Typically, a good chair does not make us more fit. It makes us less fit. Before long, we want to lie down.
Right.
So, and that's what we've been doing. I think we've just been lying down for a long time. This is all conjecture on my part, but, you know, I've got eyes, and I see what's going on. I see how the schools have, many schools out there are putting out some fabulously educated students. Others are not.
Right.
In the end, though, our education in all of these areas, whether it's science or what the evil elitists are trying to do to us, or, I mean, look, if we prefer beautiful, clever people, does this make us elitists? Maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. It's all a question of, do we even understand each other? And if we do, if we even understand the language that we're speaking to each other, can we come together on enough things? And are we willing to put the energy into coming together over these things to actually affect a change? If the answer is no, then guess what? We get to take what they keep giving us.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Well, have yourself a good night, will you?
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Chris in Traverse City, Michigan, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
Wild card line guy, you. What you got?
Well, actually, me and my buddy are just hanging out at his place. We've been listening to your show all night. And, you know, we've talked for a long time, me and my friend, about, you know, we're both 23, so we're younger, and we've talked to a lot of people the last couple of years just about, you know, conspiracies and stuff and how our feelings is, what are we actually controlling in our lives? And when I hear all these things about, you know, Illuminati or, like, these big businesses controlling us, like the banks and stuff, and how something bad could happen relatively soon, you know, I sit there and think, well, what's going to actually happen? Is everything going to crash down, or are people going to actually finally get together and realize something? And I want to lean toward that whole realization thing, like you were talking about just a second ago, because not only is it comforting, but as I talk to people, I kind of start seeing that in my generation. People are starting to put aside a lot of things that we make big, like politics and religion, and are just sitting down and thinking about, well, what could we really do to change things? And I feel that stuff that's happening now is starting to clash with these, you know, age-old theories and these age-old groups of people. And I just wanted to, you know, throw my piece on that, because I honestly believe that things are going to happen. If stuff goes down, it's going to just happen. And there's not much we can do about it happening. But what matters is what we do in response to it, and whether that will bring us to a more positive place or a more negative place.
Well, that's absolutely true. I wonder sometimes how much we've been discouraged from sitting on our front porches and talking. We're always running around. I mean, there was an article today about how, just for example, mobile phone, cell phone, the communication device courtesy has just gone way down the tubes. People complain about everything from people texting while driving to having loud conversations when they're in a place of business. maybe there's been so much emphasis put on our individuality that it's just produced a culture of people who are just so free that they're running all over each other without any courtesy at all. Or as Tommy Lee Jones said in that old movie, No Country for Old Men, as soon as you stop hearing sir and ma'am, the rest is soon to follow, so to speak. You with me on that?
Yeah, because one thing I feel is that a lot of technology today is taken for granted, you know, and especially with, like, the advent of the Internet. I mean, the Internet is, like, everybody can put whatever they want out there, and then everybody can read it and understand it, and which is, I think, is a very cool thing. But an individual gets, you know, they see something they don't like, and they get, like, distraught over it when they really should just look at it and say, well, this is another person's feelings, and that's all. You know, and then people use it for, like, commercialism and, you know, just media and, like, entertainment, and which is, you know, entertainment's a good thing and all, but it's not something we need to be 100% focused on, because we're, as a world, we're still not whole. We still have our problems that we need to deal with, and use entertainment as an outlet to just not think about that stuff. And I find that that's kind of wrong right now.
Well, I agree with you. You know, back in the old days, I mean, people read a lot now, but back in the old days, before there were all these various, is it various mediums or various media, whichever, it's late here too, at least various outlets for information. These things that we admire, I mean, once upon a time, we read the great books. We read our Voltaire and we read our Emerson. And now, to even talk about how great these writers were and how much they had to bring to our culture sort of fits you into that boring and square category. And yet, we replace the books with the great screenwriters and the great films. And we go to these films and we see the essence of the human being, the triumph of the human spirit, and we celebrate this. Yeah. But I'm afraid that what may have happened is that we now look at it as something over there, not something that we possess or we can join, but we look at it and we admire it, but then we return to the culture that drove us to the movie to begin with.
Yeah, we look at it as something outside and not something that should be respected and seen within ourselves. I feel that more people I talk to and stuff are actually, you know, even when they read something in the news or they watch a movie that, like, vastly affects them, they actually let it affect them. And I think that's a good thing in society. And I'd like to see more of that, because it is a way of reminding people that, I mean, as much as we figured out in the world, the world's still vastly complex, not just because of the ideas and religions and politics we've made up ourselves or our monetary systems, but just, you know, everything in general, how the human body works, how the world corrects itself through the oceans and through climate and things like that. I mean, it's all very, like, powerful, but people, like, lose sight of it because they're in their own little world trying to do their thing to survive, and they can't just step back for a few minutes and take a look at it all.
In the end, my brother, it's got to be... I didn't mean to step on you, but, you know, in the end, here's the thing. We cannot identify ourselves in other people. We have to decide, each of us has to decide what our values are, what our priorities are. We raise our kids properly. We take care of our old people. We read. We embrace the sciences. We stop eating hydrogenated vegetable oil, white sugar, carbohydrates after 2 in the afternoon, and on and on and on. The best way to help others around us is to maintain ourselves at the highest level that we can. Somebody just sent an email that said, I don't think it'd be possible for us to be a nation again until people consider themselves Americans instead of, you know, Italian-Americans, African-Americans, Asian-Americans, etc. Absolutely, that's absolutely true. We can become a nation again, but it really does start with the individual and bringing ourselves to be, and it's so boring to say this, but it's just, it's undeniable. It's indisputable. We have to be the best that we can be, because if we do not, then we become a drag on somebody else. Let's go to, thanks for calling, brother. Let's go to the first time caller. This is John in Bingham, New Jersey, if he's still there.
Yeah, I'm still here. You hear me?
Yeah, John, how you doing?
How you doing? I just want to get off the subject for 1 second. I'm planning to go to Europe, and I want to go, I don't know if with you or if anyone on the show has any connections. I want to go visit the site where the, supposedly the Germans built the Bell device. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Maybe. Keep going. Which device?
The Bell device was supposedly built by the Germans in World War II.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
It's like one of those wonder weapons, and supposedly, you know, it was an anti-gravity device, and, you know, there's a lot of speculation whether it had help with aliens or, you know, U.S. government got it, and they took it back to America and all this other stuff. And I was planning to go visit the area where they supposedly built the device and tested it. And I know Post Coast talks about UFOs and all that sometimes. And I'm just wondering if they could, someone could maybe put me in touch with a guy that supposedly exposed it. I guess his name is Igor Wachowski or something like that. Because I was watching the History Channel, and they had a show where somebody, I guess he, it was Igor, was taking a guy, and he showed him where they did the experiments and all this other stuff. And supposedly the Germans buried a lot of stuff. And supposedly you cannot, you know, you can't reach it. It's like unpenetrable or something like that. I had to go and take a look at all this stuff, but I just want to go by myself and just get lost. So I'm just wondering if somebody could maybe put me in touch with someone who knows the area or something and could show me around.
You know, that might be kind of tough. I'll tell you what, if you'll send an email, just John V at Coast to Coast AM, I'll look into it and see if I can get back to you. I don't have anything for you right at this moment.
All right. If I don't get to it tonight, then I'll send it like tomorrow or something like that, and I'll put it to your. You said like put it to your attention or whoever.
No, if you just send to John B at Coast to Coast AM, J O H N, and the letter B is in Bravo at Coast to Coast AM, I'll get it.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, and have yourself a good morning, as it were. Well, let's see. We got anybody else lined up there, Dan? Because if we don't. I knew that. Well, let's speak with Jenny in New York City.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Just better than I should be allowed to be. How are you up there in the East?
Okay. All right.
Are you freezing up there?
Actually, it's not too bad. It's raining right now.
Oh, well, that'll work. What's on your mind?
Quick question. What if you won the New York State lottery, let's say, hypothetically, $1,000 a week for life on a scratch-off ticket? Does it mean that the state's not going to pay you anymore?
Probably. If they get broke enough, they'll stop or suspend it or something.
Okay, because all gambling then is all out the window. But, you know, those New York, you know, those state lottery tickets that they have to waste in every state practically?
You know, that's a good point. I've always been tempted to. Now I understand why people, when they win those things, go ahead and take the lump sum and pay the tax, because they're not going to risk stretching it out over 20 years. Let's put it this way. If you win that lottery and if you can possibly take the lump sum and pay the cash, do it. John Wells in for George Norrie tonight. It's late, isn't it? The end of the work week. It's Friday night and people are tired and some of them are high. But they're welcome to call. John B. Wells, delighted to be sitting in. Let me just slur a little more. Delighted to be sitting in for Mr. Norrie tonight. You know, one of the people that, there are many, many wonderful guests on Coast to Coast AM, both, and I've been a fan for many years, as well as being privileged to sit in the chair and speak with you personally. And I'll tell you, the one that stands out in my mind is the visionary Ray Bradbury, who in 1950 published a book called Fahrenheit 451. And even though that's an old book, that's 61 years old, but I picked it up a few years ago and just asked Princess Lisa if it would be all right to interview him, and sure enough, he was on the show. And in that book, it is described how that society of the unknown future discouraged people from community. It's amazing what this man wrote in that book. interactive TV screens that take up an entire wall, a virtual elimination of the front porch where people talk and communicate and reflect and just take the time to think. Perhaps what we have done is just run ourselves so ragged. And we've listened to music that's been written about this. We've written movies about this. We've read books about this. And we just keep doing it because action, it's all about the action. So if we run out of gas, what do? Well, we take mass transportation. We carpool. We walk. We ride bicycles. We ride motorcycles, and while we're on that subject, please be kind to them, but it's just the shape of the bike and the clothes that make the bikers look like they want to take on the world. They're really trying to survive, and it's not easy in a metropolitan area. So maybe this is a good opportunity to just mend our fences and take it easy. There are a number of people that would like to get in on the program and talk. We have couple of people in California, we got somebody in Pittsburgh and so forth, so I'll tell you what, without going on much longer, let's take this little two-minute break and come back to Coast AM. John B. in for George Norrie tonight. I want to talk to Crash in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Are you there?
There I am. How you doing?
What's all this about Crash?
It's a nickname. 17 out of 18 vehicles I totaled. I'm a little rough on cars.
Well, I think you're slightly ahead of myself, sir. What's on your mind tonight?
Okay, you have done a great job tonight, and this has been a great show. Let me try to get some things out. I want to see if you are going to try to pigeonhole me somewhere. I was raised to hold doors for people, say thank you, raised with old school values. I'm 36 years old, okay? I am waking people up that are younger than me to what's going on in our country that have no clue, and they're starting to catch on. Now, the type of person I am, I hope that maybe if all this goes down in the States, if this does get really bad, that we will come together and America will be so much stronger like we've never seen anything before. Now, on the flip side, if that doesn't happen, there are people like myself and friends of mine. We're laborers, we're musicians, we're servers, we're cooks. We go out of our way to help people that are broken down on the side of the road. Those are the types of people that I surround myself with. But we are also people that we have elders in our family. They're investing in gold, and there's people like myself that are investing for hard times, food packs, ammunition, you name it. If things were to get really bad like that. No, we're not militias. We don't gather. You can't pigeonhole us as far as that type of group. But I've gotten closer with God than I've ever been because I've been off the track for a while. And I have made, you know, to myself and to God that if I have to give my life to help somebody else, if things were to get really bad in this country, I will do that. I am okay with that. I hope it never comes to that. So I'm going to jump off the line. Just tell me what you think. Like, where do I fit in? And my friends and some of my ex-military friends, where do we fit in and all that? Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you for your time. And, of course, now you're listening to the opinion of one person, and that's myself. And I'm not trying to patronize you in any way by saying this, but you sound like a real American to me, son. And I'm not kidding you either. I remember a time when language that is commonly used, people would look at you like you were the lowest form of trash that ever walked the earth to use language like that. I can remember my dad didn't even, of course, now, my dad was an ex-Navy man, submariner, Pearl Harbor veteran and all that. And he liked things done properly. He wasn't cruel in his, you know, rigid position on the way things were to be. He just believed that things should operate properly. He didn't even like the expression, yeah. Now, that's a little bit of a stretch in today's world. If you were to go off on a teacher and use some form of profanity or an obscene expression to a teacher, you'd be pulled out of that classroom, and they would take the paddle out, and they would warm your bottom up real bad and until it was glowing cherry red and send you home. and it would be worse when you got home, but all that stopped. So I have to tell you, this is not a political show, and I like to stay away from it. It's not a religious show, and while I don't like to stay away from it because I feel like, you know, in the strictest definition of the word, religion is something that you do with regularity. Spirituality, that's a vague acquiescence to the possibility of a divine being. And I hear all these idiots out there talking about, and I'm using the word idiots, talking about, well, we're not really sure if we see any signs of intelligent design. You don't, really. Well, in that case, I can't talk to you at all. All of these things, I'm going back to Bradbury here for a minute. So many, virtually all of the things, with the exception of firefighters that actually start fires, that's an entirely different subject. I don't want to go into the 911 thing at all. Going to people's houses that they discovered had a cache of books and burn the books along with the person inside. People eventually escaping that as the war planes are sailing overhead because yet another war has been contrived, making their way out of the city. And having no books to carry, they carry it all in memory, and they begin again. That's what life does. Life doesn't give anything that it doesn't take away at some point, and takes nothing away that it doesn't give back at some point. So the cruelty that has been fostered over the various media, we saw it started with basically the cruelty gangster movies in the 50s. And then, while I think Robert Wagner is a very cool guy, I don't think that having a great, handsome-looking guy like this saying, hey, I'm a thief. Oh, well, if he's a thief, but it's for the greater good, then that makes it okay. There's been a very insidious, meaning it doesn't happen all at once, encouragement of bringing out the baser aspects of the human condition and somehow making them all right. Is it okay to sacrifice the 100 for the 1,000? Well, no, it's not all right, but sometimes it happens. There are tragedies that occur in this life. Nothing can be, nothing of a tragic nature can be put off indefinitely. However, it can be averted. Greater good can come out of it. And people have very short memories when it comes to things like that. Eventually, I mean, look at the Holocaust. Some people may deny that it happened. Well, it did happen, and it was a terrible thing. But the survivors of it went on, and they had productive lives and contributed hugely to society. They didn't cling to their... Some couldn't get past it, certainly. But the vast majority of them overcame it, went on with their lives as decent people who contributed to the betterment of themselves and everyone around them. So that's what we're doing down here on planet Earth, is we're overcoming our base human nature and evolving it to a higher level. Unfortunately, we've gotten stuck for the last, I don't know, 50 years now. In a self-indulgence that has done precisely what we were warned it would do, and that is undo us. Okay, have you had enough of that gas? All right, fine, we'll move on then. Is Jonathan there, east of the Rockies in Atlanta, Georgia? Is Jonathan there?
Yes, how you doing, sir, Webb?
I was afraid I'd gone on so long you dropped off the scope. How are you doing, and what's on your mind?
No, not at all. Good morning to all the listeners and to yourself, too. It was an amazing show, as usual. The only thing I wanted to add, if I could, was those that understand that your power is in your unity, not in your division, that the people must begin to understand what the hive mentality is. If you divide yourselves and you allow people to separate you by demographic and by your differences, then you work in their behalf and you're working in their favor. It is to your advantage that you break down the walls between each of you and you start to communicate on the level, as Mr. Wells is trying to allude to. You have to go to the next level and your understanding of one another, so that you won't allow people to put differences and separate you. Because when they isolate you, you conquer yourself when you act upon your anger and your differences. And I'm talking to all of those that hear my voice. It's not about your circumstance or your situation. We are all in this together. And for all of you that want to pull together and think that you will conquer by your separatist attitude from different groups, then all you're doing is you're giving the agent the power to destroy you by your own mechanism and your own concept will help them, just like in a chess game or in a checkered game. You jump the other piece. That means that's something they don't even have to do. So you're carrying out a vile act against your brother is the last thing you want to do. So peace is Yah, the Yahuwah, the Most High Yah created all of you. So just look, repent, get your houses in order. Mr. Williams gave you a lot of beneficial information so that you can prepare so that it wouldn't slam you and come upon you all at once. But you have people that are out that are about deception and would love to keep you in darkness and separate yourselves from one another. Love and unity is the only thing that's going to help you conquer in the end. So peace to all the listeners. Good job, Mr. Wells. Much success and health and happiness to you all. Goodbye. Thank you.
Same to you, Jonathan. That's absolute poetry. I can't argue with the thing that you said, and I can't add anything to it either. He's absolutely right. I mean, that's what you do when you want to get to people. You divide them. And isn't that what's going on now? You know what's so beautiful about this whole thing? Is that the left and the right, let me put it this way. I wish that somehow I could have spoken to this man personally. His name was Patrick McGoohan. He's American born, but he was basically an English actor. And way back, he did a show called Secret Agent Man. He played the father in The Three Lives of Thomasina. Patrick McGoohan. He played Longshanks in Braveheart. And he did a remarkable series of 16 episodes called The Prisoner. It just sent shockwaves everywhere. It came out in the height of the Cold War. I think it came out in 68. And it was basically that the East and the West were looking in a mirror. And that everything would fall down at the moment that they realized this. Isn't that what's going on here? You have the left wing, you have the right wing, and in the end, isn't it becoming abundantly clear to all of us that they are one in the same? One half says, hey, we know you're dirty, but that's okay, because you know, we're a little bit dirty too. We can do business together, okay? There's one faction, then the other faction says, no. No, we're for the traditional values that have built this country to where it is. And where is that? At the pinnacle of greed, and now we've just about run out of rope, and we're about to have to hit the reset button. Let's see if Joe in Albuquerque on the wild card line has anything to bring to the party to either contradict me or validate my speeches. Come on in, Joe, if you're there.
Well, yes, I am. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate your thoughts and everyone's out there. It's just that time is short, I feel, and as everybody's very well aware. And why is the effort made to expend the nation's economies or the budget towards efforts that are already, a useless concept? And not desalinate ocean water to help people grow food and give them work in the same time out here in the deserts that are open and free range. If they want to restore the ecology, well, this is the best way to go about it, I think. Now that everybody's out of work, it's just wondering where to go clean some windows just for the next $5. But as you know, it's... there's other interests at play, so what I was really interested in is a comment made about that figure in Phoenix that was invited to the White House, and how to get in contact with her in order to make a an advocacy for this push to help grow crops, and then perhaps we can demonstrate here in our borders and in this Western civilization, we can demonstrate to the rest of the world what to do with their deserts instead of fight over small little portions that are mismanaged anyhow. What is your
I hear what you're saying, and I don't know if this is in the same, you'll excuse this unfortunate expression, the same groove that you're in, but it's like this. If we concentrate so much on the tribulations and the trials that we are experiencing now, not only will we lose faith and interest in the future, but I have a feeling the rest of the world will also. I thank you very much for your call. And thank you all. And thank you for your kind emails and your kind comments. I will answer as many of them as I can. But we're running out of time. It's almost, well, I can't tell you, otherwise my undisclosable location would become disclosed. But let me leave you with this. It is said, the truth is out there. You hear it. The truth is out there. Maybe we should embrace the possibility that, yes, the truth is out there. But as long as we don't give up on our faith and our vision, we'll come to the conclusion that the truth is actually in here, inside all of us. We just have to allow ourselves to hear it. From everyone at Coast to Coast AM, this is John B. Wells, sitting in tonight for George Norrie. Until next time, be well.